Let us pray. Holy Father, once again we come before you and thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, not to the nourishment of our souls, as we endeavor to feast upon the things of Christ. Help us to be reminded of how we're to live in this world and how we are to serve you in many ways. We thank you most of all for our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. We basically came down to verse 10, and it may be that we will spend the entire afternoon service on verse 10. I think it's good to be reminded of this. When Paul and Barnabas were given the right hands of fellowship, James, Cephas, and John, they said that they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. I'd like to spend a little time upon this, and I assure you, and you probably know this as well, that we could preach several sermons that what the Scripture has to say regarding the poor. We live in a society of socialism that the poorest individual on the street is rich compared to many places in the world. Most of your homeless folks, how they come up with them, I don't know, but they wind up with cell phones and other things, and it's just astounding. But we won't go into that. We want to try to look at the poor from the standpoint of the Scriptures. Like I said, a tremendous study could be done regarding the poor. And though I'll supply a few passages, and some I'll probably just skip over, but I assure you that the few passages or the passages that we'll look at are just a mere sampling of what we could have bring to our attention. I want to go back to, first of all, in Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. In verse 11. Well, I'll read let's start in verse 9. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shall gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. And what they leave, the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy oliveyard. So we find that the children of Israel, for more than one reason, they were to leave the land vacant for a year. And obviously, if there was wheat planted on the land and had been the previous year, then there would be wheat you know, that was left over, just growing up wild, as it were. But it would still come to maturity. And if you had an olive yard, then naturally they wouldn't be harvesting the olives on the seventh year. Or if there were apples and oranges and, you know, just whatever it was, there would be plenty of fruit there left, and that was given not only for the strangers, but for the poor. Now, there's one thing we need to realize with regard to the poor. This was not a welfare system. Even though the land was being rested to keep the land from being exhausted of continual harvest. It's always good to let your land rest occasionally and so on, but I'm not going to get off into that. But not only was it letting the land rest, but it was also giving the poor the blessing of being able to work for their food. Notice it did not say, you pick it for them and then carry it to them. But they were to come to the land and they were to pick or gather the crop or the fruit, whatever it was, for themselves. The idea of the poor is not a welfare system, only in the case of some who may be beggars and things of that nature, but we're not going. That wasn't the norm. There was another passage in Exodus 22:25, which we will not read, though we will read the parallel passage in Leviticus chapter 25. So next, we want to go to Leviticus chapter 25. But what I'm showing here, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, the poor was taken care of. In Leviticus chapter 25, in verse 35, and if thy brother be waxen poor, and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, in other words, he got so poor, he had to sell himself into slavery. That's what it was. Thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant. And as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee, and so on and so forth. But here you see again that the poor was to be taken care of. There was to be a compassion toward them. And if you lend money to the poor, then you could not expect any interest to be paid back. Now, we're not going to read it, but there's a parallel passage to the one we read in Exodus, in Leviticus 19:10. You can look at that sometime later. But you can see that that's not the case in the country in which we live. If a man is poor and he has to go and borrow some money, usually he winds up going to some of these loan sharks and having to pay far more than what other people normally would have to pay in order to get by. Deuteronomy 15. Verse 11. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. This was a far cry from the rich man and Lazarus, was it not? The rich man didn't even waste his time helping Lazarus, and the rich man wouldn't even. Not only did he not give him anything, he didn't try to dress his wounds, and the only thing that Lazarus had to dress his wounds was the dogs to lick them. Now, I believe that it is a mark of judgment against a country when a nation has turned the poor over to the government. Now, I don't have enough insight or economic knowledge to teach a lesson on how all of this should be done and how everything should be done. We know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. So there has to be a balance. But there are people that come on hard times, and it is essential that people give to the poor. Now, lest I mislead, I had not thought about this, what I'm about to say, until just now. Now, you know, a few weeks ago, the tornadoes that went through Kentucky. And I'm thinking in particular about the tornado that went through Madisonville, Kentucky, and destroyed the Primitive Baptist church building there. And there were two ladies that were not members, but they attended regularly, that were killed in the tornado there. And I'm gathering a few fragments from a testimony that I heard from Brother Jeff Winfrey, the pastor there at Dawson Springs. It's kindly near to my heart because back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, I preached there. And knew Brother Jeff when he was just a boy. But anyway, and I wasn't much more than a boy myself, but anyway, the building was destroyed. The frame, the foundation and framework was still good. And I believe I mentioned maybe last Lord's Day, I'm not sure. I think maybe I had mentioned about the Mennonites helping them out and coming and rebuilding. But I don't want to get off into some of the details, but to say this, the church building in Dawson Springs, if I remember correctly, was on the front page of the Atlanta newspaper, I think it was the Atlanta Constitution. And then it was also maybe on some others, but I think Brother Jeff mentioned that it was on the front page of a newspaper in Los Angeles. But there were people all across the country, and not just Primitive Baptists, though there were many Primitive Baptists, as I understand it. But there were people all across the country that contacted Brother Jeff that wanted to send money for relief. And they wanted to send it not to some organization where they had officers and overhead and office buildings and so on and so forth. They wanted the money to go to the people who needed it. And Brother Jeff was talking about that how many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars were sent. People would contact him and he would tell them who he was. And he said, I will try to do my best. He told them what he was doing and how he was doing, and he would try to spend their money appropriately. And even as late as last Monday, I believe he got $10,000, over $10,000 in the mail that day. Well, I do know that there was a brother in another congregation whose wife died recently, and he didn't have the money to bury his wife. Brother Jeff sent the money to bury the wife. Looks like their meeting house is going to be restored. They also, the Mennonites came and built a building, pretty good sized building, to store food and other necessities that could be used for later and for people, and also for the food bank there in the city. Brother Jeff is he's on the board, I think, of the food bank. And as a result, that they're going to be able to have a building for their own, instead of storing the food in another building that they were depended on by the government, now they're going to be able to have their own food bank building and everything of that nature. But I said all of that to say this. While we do live in a pretty much socialistic country, and while oftentimes you see people trying to get money for no reason, or for bad reasons, I'll put it that way. it's kind of like this happened a few months ago. It might be a year ago now, I don't know. But I was in Walmart, and this lady came up to me, and she was in need to get some money for gasoline to get her mother home for some reason and so on. And so I gave her some money. And then about a week or so later, I was at a gas station here in the city getting some gasoline. This same woman came up to me and gave me the same spiel. I said, well, you hit me up at Walmart about a couple of weeks ago, but I said, I don't think I need to help you out this time. And so she went back to her car and got in and drove off. So you do have those people that will take advantage of you. And and so you say, well, maybe you should not have given her that before. Well, I gave it to her. I gave it in good faith, and that's between her and the Lord. And sometimes I don't help folks, and most of the time when I don't, I feel about halfway guilty and wonder what I should have done it or not. But anyway, we're not trying to preach a sermon to cover all the ins and outs of that. My whole point in all of this is that there are still people here and throughout the land that are willing to give and willing to give from the goodness of their heart, whether they're Christian or not. I won't even go into that. You see people with tornadoes and just a lot of calamities in various times, and you see people on the news where people have come from, from their homes to other places to help cut up trees and things. So there's still that element of wanting to help the poor when there is a legitimate need in this country. I don't think it's what it used to be, for the simple reason that we do not live in an agrarian society as we used to. When I grew up on a farm. And more than one time were people in the community where the husband, the father, was laid up or in the hospital or got hurt or something, and the rest of the community would go in and harvest their crops for them and things of that nature. I've been involved in helping harvest crops. And we had one neighbor that... he was in the hospital, and other neighbors went and milked his cows. And one day was my day to go and milk the cows for him and things of that nature. So I grew up in a community where we knew each other. And when there was a need, the community came together and helped. Today, even if you live out in the country, sometimes you don't even know who your next door neighbor is. And so you don't know if there's a need and things of that nature. Thankfully, I live in a little small community now, and a couple of neighbors, when they found out that I was sick these past few weeks, occasionally they'd send a text message and say, is there anything I can do for you? Can I get you something? Do you need that? You know, that means a lot to be in a community like that. So there still is a sense of helping the poor when there's a legitimate need. And so, but this is a Christian principle, is from the scriptures, and I guess I've chased that rabbit enough. Let's go to Psalm 82. There's another Psalm 41:1. I won't read that one. But Psalm 82, and by the way, I could have gotten a whole lot more verses than what we're looking at. Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4. How long will ye judge unjustly? Verse 3. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Now we want to look at several passages in the book of Proverbs. Now I want to look at all that I have written down. Proverbs 14 is the first one. Proverbs 14:21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Verse 31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Proverbs 17, verse 5. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Chapter 19, verse 17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he repay him again. Proverbs 21, verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. 22, verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. And then in verse 22, rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. Proverbs 28, verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have mercy, shall have many a curse. And then lastly, Proverbs 29:14. This is out of the book of Proverbs. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Now let's take this over into the New Testament. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, this is Paul talking to the elders from the congregation at Ephesus. And in his closing remarks, he said in verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And then we read this morning, Romans 15:1, how that the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. But now I want to show a few verses where Paul practiced this. Remember, which we said, the verse 10 of Galatians 2, that we're looking at all of this from. He said that the apostles said they would that we should remember the poor, and Paul said, the same which I also was forward to do. In Acts chapter 24, in Paul making his address before Ananias. But he said in verse 17, "Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings." In other words, the reason that Paul went to Jerusalem and wound up being arrested is because he had taken money from the congregations of Christians to send relief unto the Jews in Jerusalem. In Romans chapter 15, we already quoted verse 1, but in verses taken up in verse 25, Paul is talking about in the context here that he wanted to go to Rome. He hadn't been there yet, but he planned on going to Spain, as he said in verse 24. But on his way to Spain, he was going to drop off at Rome. But then, but before that, in verse 25, he said, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia," that would be the congregation at Philippi and the congregation at Corinth, which we're going to read about here in a few minutes. "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are." Notice that. You're in debt to help others. "For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things," he's talking about the Gentiles being made partakers of the covenants that were given to the Jews. That's what he's talking about here. It's Gentiles helping Jews. "For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." See, carnal is not always sinful, just the things of this world. "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." So Paul, he said, "I'm on my way." Now let's look in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians where he wrote to them in order to take up this money. 1 Corinthians 16. In other words, it's quite obvious Paul was, as he said there in Galatians 2:10, he was forward to help the poor. In other words, he was quick to do so. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the congregations of Galatia, even so do ye." Notice this. What are we studying? The epistle to the Galatians. And Paul tells the Galatians in his epistle that he was quick to help the poor saints. And here, in writing to the congregation at Corinth, Paul said, "I've given order to the congregations in Galatia to do what I'm telling you to do. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." In other words, Corinth, I'm going to come your way. And I'm going to come by you. And I'm going to pick up some money and take it to the poor saints at Jerusalem. Now, every Lord's Day, every first day of the week when y'all come together to meet, naturally you're going to give your contribution to the congregation, but there should be another bucket. You lay by, put some money in that bucket for the poor saints. And then when I come, I won't have to get the congregation together to take up an offering. I can just come by and pick up the money you've already given. It might be 6 weeks. It might be 6 months before I get there. So you've got plenty of time to take up some money for the poor saints. I never have studied this out to see what the time frame might have been. Never thought about it till just now. But, you know, when he writes a letter, no, it's not like getting in a car or flying on a plane and coming there the next day. Back at that time, he said that there be no gathering when I come. And he says down in verse 5, he said, I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And he said, I'm going to winter with you and things of that nature. All right. Look in 2 Corinthians. And I don't remember the time frame between the first and the second, but evidently he still hadn't gone there and gotten the money. Because here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the congregations of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty aboundeth unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, he said, these poor congregations gave richly. That's what he's saying. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Drop down to the 9th chapter. If we had the time, we'd read the whole 8th chapter, but we don't need to. For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia. Now notice this. He says in chapter 8 that the saints in Macedonia and Achaia, they were poor congregations, but they gave richly. Now here in chapter 9, he says, I bragged on you to those of Achaia and Macedonia. Verse 2 again, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you, I bragged about you to them of Macedonia and Achaia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked many. In other words, he said, I've been bragging on these congregations of how much y'all wanting to give. In other words, Paul is really putting the pressure on them to be leaning forward Christians and not backward Christians. In other words, he wants them to reach forward, or lean forward, and reach in their back pocket and get their billfold out, not to reach backward and reach in the front pocket for the change. He's encouraging them. And then he says in verse 3, lest I have sent the brethren, yet I have sent the brethren, or yet have I sent the brethren, I'll get it right in a minute, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. So we know that there was a year going on here of taking up money. And then dropping down in verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So you can see that the Old Testament taught to give to the poor. The New Testament taught to give to the poor. Paul said, I'm setting the example of giving to the poor. He said, I've labored at trying to take up money for the poor, particularly the poor saints at Jerusalem. Why were those saints poor at Jerusalem? Well, let me see if I can find it right quick. There was a drought in Jerusalem. Well, I can't put my finger on it right now, but it was in some place here in Acts. It talks about the drought. And it was in the days of one of the kings, and I can't even remember right now or put my finger on it. But there was a drought that went through Jerusalem, and so Paul took up and worked at taking up money for the poor saints at Jerusalem. The next section is Paul confronting Peter at Antioch. That'll take up in verse 12, but I'm going to stop early today because there's no need of getting into that and be just getting started. And we'll stop here with just a lesson on giving to the poor. And you can see from Proverbs, if nothing else, that giving to the poor is ministering to the Lord. And he that honors the Lord does give to the poor. And like I said, particularly in the age in which we live, it takes wisdom sometimes to know when and how to do that. But when there is a legitimate need, I think God's people in general do desire to help those that are poor. If they're not, then according to James, John, if they're not willing to give to those of their brethren in necessity, when there's genuine necessity, if they have the means to do so and they don't, there's no evidence that they're Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you for your word. What we have studied this afternoon by many would not consider to be profound. But it is something that is profound because you are quite interested in it. As we have opportunity, our Father, give us wisdom to know how to exercise this grace. For indeed it is a grace, as 2 Corinthians plainly teaches, though we didn't cover it today. We need wisdom. Wisdom that only you can give. We pray in Christ Jesus. Amen.